Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the Complete Health Improvement programs offered across the country and around the world. The results are proven. The benefits, priceless. I'm your Chip Health host, Charles Mills. There's a scene in one of Dr. Diehl's Chip videos, which if you ever saw it, you would be hard-pressed to forget it. In that scene, doctors are bending over the open chest of a heart patient, and they're extracting something rubbery and gray from a length of artery. That something is plaque, and it has all but filled up that poor artery from which it's being removed. The image is unnerving and all too common in today's surgical theaters, but its message is clear. Eat too much of certain foods, and this will be what you look like inside. Dr. Diehl, as I watched that scene, I couldn't help but imagine that patient gulping down a cheeseburger followed by a milkshake and thinking all is well. Tell us how scenes of someone eating such food translates into scenes of someone getting his or her artery reamed out.
Yeah, it's a very unnerving scene, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That repeats itself every day in our surgical theaters. Mm. Where people come in with angina pain, chest pain, where they come in after a heart attack, where the heart has actually been attacked by not having adequate oxygen supplies because the vessels, the coronary arteries that are supposed to bring oxygenated blood and nutrients to the heart muscle, have become gradually narrowed down more and more. Mm-hmm. And this narrowing process has also stiffened with time so that adequate blood flow and oxygen can no longer reach the heart muscle, and it begins to scream out in pain. It says, I'm asphyxiating. I don't have enough oxygen coming down here. Help me. And the underlying cause is the American lifestyle that causes a deposition, a buildup of this internal arterial rust on the inside of the artery, thus narrowing the vessel from delivering the life-sustaining oxygenated blood.
Now, there are going to be people listening to the show right now who are saying, now, wait a minute, Dr. Diehl. My father had heart disease. My grandfather had heart disease. I'm going to have heart disease because of that, because of heredity. What do you say to that?
Yeah, sure. You know, your grandfather and your father, and you probably live the same lifestyle as well. Mm. So it may not just be the genetics, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we are sharing also a common lifestyle. Mm. Now, as you know, I come from a Germanic heritage. And, you know, when I grew up in Germany, there are certain foods that are very generic to German people. You know, they love their pig's feet. That's what they do. You know, they love their gingerbread houses. that they usually prepare for Christmas time.
Yes, yes.
You know, they love their Black Forest cherry cakes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's part of the German culture. You go to Poland, you go to Russia, they have their kobasa, they have their special sausages, and that becomes a hallmark. So it's not just that we share some genetics, but we also share a common lifestyle, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like what's happening here in this country, because our common lifestyle is what we eat. And as we learn in the Complete Health Improvement Program around the world, what we're eating is not in our best interest. Am I right?
Yeah. You know, we have to recognize that geneticists usually figure that to change the genetics of a whole society, mm-hmm. to change national genetics, probably takes 300 to 400 years. Mm-hmm. Now, here's something to think about. If it takes 300 to 400 years, how is it that heart disease couldn't even be found, coronary artery disease couldn't even be found, angina was difficult to find, maybe among the very rich, but it was very rare 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. So atherosclerosis, you know, this underlying plaque that we talked about,
Yeah. The
narrowing and hardening of the arteries, and the clinical expressions such as angina pectoris and heart attacks and certain strokes and impotence and hearing loss and visual loss. These are all related to a narrowing of the arteries to different parts of the organs in the body. And these are basically new diseases. These are diseases of the last 100 years. They really emerged only really after World War I, and then they really began to cruise and gallop forward after World War II. So genetics, I mean, if it takes 300, 400 years, how can you explain that this is a disease of the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years?
Well, it sounds like we really need to look at what we are putting in our bodies, because we are learning now how cholesterol forms in our bodies. Doesn't the body need cholesterol? I mean, I've heard you talk about good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. So apparently there's a cholesterol that we need?
Yeah. You know, if you really wanted to boil down the determinants of health and long life, aside from smoking, you would probably have to really focus on the level of cholesterol in the body, the cholesterol in the bloodstream. That probably is one of the most important numbers that you should know as a listener. And you want to have that cholesterol below 150 points. Anything above 150 increases the likelihood of narrowing and hardening of the arteries to your heart, to your brain, to your male sex organ, and. So cholesterol numbers are very, very, very important. And there are, of course, several subfractions. There are components of the total cholesterol. But let me just sort of establish the idea that you really want to know your cholesterol. As I mentioned to you, it goes without saying that you've got to do something about your smoking, obviously. And I think we need to do something about blood pressure. But next to these kind of things, you have, in addition to that, the weight that people have. So if you could take care of, aside from the smoking, if you could take care of the cholesterol and your weight number, and perhaps your blood pressure, you have the holy trinity of good health.
Okay.
So cholesterol is probably the number one factor. The number two, you have the weight number that has not emerged as driving all the other diseases. And then you have blood pressure, aside from, obviously, the smoking.
Sure.
So we need to do something about the cholesterol. We need to drive it down to less than 150. And we have to understand that there are different components to cholesterol. You alluded to that already, right?
Yeah.
There's a good cholesterol. There's a bad cholesterol. There's a total cholesterol.
A total cholesterol of less than 150 points. Okay, that's good. Let's first of all talk about good cholesterol, because people are going to be saying, you know, hey, I understand that cholesterol is actually good for you. So how is good cholesterol good for you?
Well, actually, cholesterol is good for you. Surprise, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
As a matter of fact, mother's milk is loaded with cholesterol. And that's oftentimes used by the dairy industry to say, you see, it can't be all that bad. You know, yes, we have cholesterol in cow's milk, but hey, look at mother's milk, that's even higher. Yeah, but what we overlook is the fact that mother's milk starts with a relatively high cholesterol content because the baby needs cholesterol for the insulation of brain components. But you know, as the mother feeds that baby week after week after week, that cholesterol goes down and down and down in mother's milk.
Really?
It's one of these mysteries in life.
Really? So it's self-regulating then in the mother?
It is self, yeah, that's right. It's self-regulating. But once, you know, you have gone through those first few months, there is no need for cholesterol anymore because the body makes all the cholesterol that you will ever need.
Okay.
So if you're a total vegan, you know, sort of a total vegetarian, a total plant food-oriented person that doesn't use animal products, that leaves out cheese and poultry and pork and meat, you will never go into a cholesterol deficiency. You'll always have enough cholesterol because you need cholesterol to some extent because it's an essential component of how the body functions. But what we have to worry about is that we have too much cholesterol in the bloodstream, and it settles in the arteries.
So the body is making the cholesterol that we need. If we just ate carrots for the rest of our lives, the cholesterol problem would not be a problem because the body is making what it needs.
You might have some other problems if you have some malnutrition, right? Yeah, that's right. But as far as cholesterol is concerned, you're right.
Okay.
So I think we need to begin to understand that you don't need to eat cholesterol and you don't need to eat fat, certain fats that drive the cholesterol in the liver to go up, you can live on a very simple, wholesome diet, and your cholesterol that the body needs will always be around the 100 to the 150 points, just like you find it in China, where people don't eat cholesterol and they're on a very, very low-fat diet. There you find cholesterol numbers of 95 and 100 and 110. In our society, most people are happy to have it at 200.
Really?
Too high.
Yeah.
Predictor of heart disease.
Okay, so we know that our body makes cholesterol. We need cholesterol. Now we have this bad cholesterol. What is bad cholesterol and how is it bad for us?
Yeah, you know, we begin to talk about the idea that the total cholesterol is made up of different components.
Right.
We talked about there's good cholesterol, what we call the HDL, which is actually somewhat protective. It's not a lot of discussion right now, but let's just assume that it is protective. And the higher that good cholesterol is, the more we think it is somewhat protective from heart disease. Mm-hmm. Then you have the bad cholesterol. That's the LDL cholesterol. LDL, that stands for little devils.
LDL. Okay, little devils, okay. All right.
And these are the atherogenic particles. These are the particles that actually are responsible for the buildup of the inflammatory process on the inside of the arteries, which then ultimately becomes the plaque that develops. Mm-hmm. And then you have another cholesterol called the VLDL, that's sometimes also called the triglycerides divided by 5. Mm-hmm. So that's also another factor that it contributes to the atherosclerotic buildup. So we have now HDL, the good cholesterol. We have the LDL, the little devils, the atherogenic particle. Mm-hmm. And then you have the VLDL, which is the same as triglycerides or blood fats. And when you sometimes ask your doctor, what are my triglycerides? And he might say, well, it's 200. You just divide it by 5. Mm-hmm. And that gives you, in this case, a number of 40. That's your VLDL. So the VLDL and the HDL and the LDL, when you add them all up, that becomes the total cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And that should be below 150.
Now, so the LDL is the little devils you're talking about. They do serve a purpose to a point. I'm assuming that's why we have them in our bodies, right?
Maybe, yes. But they're much too high. We should have them less than 90, but most of us have them at 130, 150.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you say that the HDL is protective, how does the HDL protect us? You mentioned that the higher, the better. Exactly what is the physiology here? How does that protect us?
Well, apparently the good cholesterol, the HDL particles, catches some of the cholesterol and attaches to it and pulls it out through the intestinal tract.
Okay.
So there is some kind of feedback reversal mechanism that helps us with that.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we'll take a short break now. When we come back, I want to talk to you more about where we can look to see if possibly we are introducing more cholesterol into our bodies than our bodies need. We seem to have heart disease as the number one killer. Atherosclerosis is out of control. So we're doing something here that is causing a buildup of this cholesterol, high numbers, and the buildup in our arteries in our bodies. Let's find out what that is in our return. So everybody stay right where you are. Don't settle for a pauper's breakfast. A kingly feast will provide the fuel to keep you running for hours if you make smart choices. Begin with a hot or cold cereal made from whole grains, naturally high in fiber. Add some bananas, raisins, blueberries, or raspberries, and a few dates for your sweet tooth. Open to a non-traditional breakfast? Just slip some strips of tomato or cucumber between two slices of whole grain bread. Eat like a king.
Concerned about those extra pounds, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, depression, and heart disease? I'm Dr. Hans Diehl, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
For more information about the Complete Health Improvement Program and to transform CHIP's proven results into priceless benefits for you and your family, visit chiphealth.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills here with Dr. Hans Diehl, founder director of the Complete Health Improvement Program, better known as CHIP. Now, you hold these CHIP programs and people go there by the thousands. Are they discovering that it is easy or hard to bring down those cholesterol numbers? What is your take on this?
Yeah, I tell you, it's one of the great professional satisfaction that I have to see people go through our four-week program. They attend some 40 hours of instruction of how to learn how the body works and what we can do to help ourselves. And they actually become very knowledgeable in clinical self-care.
I'm sure they do.
Right? Mm-hmm. And as they begin to recognize that there are many things that we can do, and as they make some adjustments in how they eat and exercise and so on, they find within less than 4 weeks, their cholesterol drops 15 to 35%. I mean, in just four weeks, 15 to 35% in the total cholesterol. And people say, well, so what? Well, so what? Let me tell you, when you bring your cholesterol down by 1%, you bring down the coronary risk by 2 to 3%.
Wow.
That means that if you bring the cholesterol down as we do very consistently, we have some more than 50,000 graduates, if we bring it down by 20%, let's say, which is a conservative number, times 2 to 3 times, that is 40 to 60%. The coronary risk goes down by 40 to 60%, which means you bring down your blood cholesterol by 20%, you cut your risk of a heart attack in half.
Amazing.
50% within 4 weeks, and you haven't taken any medications. You have just basically given the body a chance to begin the self-healing process. And as that happens, gradually these plaques, this internal arterial rust on the inside of the artery, begins to gradually melt down. You can actually open up these arteries again with time as you keep those cholesterol numbers below 150.
That is incredible. That is incredible. That must make you feel really good.
Well, it does. And the participants, too.
Yes, you know,
they're
sure.
They're overawed because, you know, sometimes they were recommended for bypass surgery.
Sure.
You have a $150,000 bypass, and yet probably 15 to 25% close up again within the first 12 months.
And they're spending hundreds of dollars a year on statins.
They're spending $1,000 to $2,000 on cholesterol medication.
Wow.
And again, you have to worry about some side effects there. And so here you now have a mechanism. Here you have a method where you just begin to make some wiser lifestyle choices, especially how we eat, and the cholesterol begins to drop 15, 20, 25, 30% in 4 weeks. The LDL, the bad cholesterol, drops 20, 25, 30, 35%. The weight goes down. The blood pressure goes down. I mean, your fog, your mental fog is lifting.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you say, what's happening? Yes, the body is beginning to initiate its self-healing process. The body is very, very oriented towards bringing itself back into a healthy condition if we give it a chance. And the best thing that you can do is do something that brings your weight down, that brings your blood pressure down, and particularly to bring your cholesterol down. That becomes an indicator of your lifestyle, especially of how you eat.
I think probably one of the most surprising elements of all this, Dr. Diehl, is when we tell people, and I've heard you say it on this program before, that weight loss, blood pressure lowering, and cholesterol lowering, you're doing the same thing to do all three of these. These are not three different things you have to do. You're basically doing the same thing in your lifestyle. Am I right?
Yeah, it's true. You know,
yeah.
Some 30 years ago, when we were talking about nutrition and I was doing my master's degree in nutrition at the time. You know, we had to learn a different diet, just about, a different diet for every disease. There was a special diet for gout. There was a different diet for arthritis. There was a different diet for heart disease. There was a different diet for weight loss. There was a different diet for blood pressure. And now, in the last 20 years, we have seen a coalescing of these kind of different dietary concepts into one major concept, and that is begin to eat more of the four new food groups.
Four of them. Okay, let's find out what those are, because this is so important, listener, for us to know what Dr. Deal is about to say. This is the key. This is the key for weight problems, for blood pressure problems, for cholesterol problems, for the ability of the body to think clearer. This is the key. And here it is, Dr. Deal. Go ahead.
Yeah, it almost seems to be too simple. But when you look into what nature has provided for us, it probably begins to make sense. And nature has provided an abundance of fresh fruits, mm-hmm. fresh vegetables, whole grains, you know, like the different grains like brown rice and whole wheat and barley and corn and so on. And so aside from fresh vegetables and fresh fruits and whole grains, you also have provided by nature an abundance of beans and lentils and these kind of things, some 40, 50 different kinds. And if we would begin to move in that direction, maybe have a few nuts and seeds along with it, mm-hmm. and have plenty of water to drink, which we should all perhaps increase. And, you know, you couple that with a good exercise program and you have a commitment to being a kinder, more loving
yes, indeed.
Person. Yeah. Hey, you got the elements for a full, rich life. Now, coming back to the diet, we know that when you begin to focus on those four new food groups, that means you will probably leave out or you at least cut back significantly on refined foods, right?
Right, right. Sure, you have to. There'll be no room for them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you'll be cutting back on the engineered foods like the cakes and the pies and the M&Ms and the chips and the donuts. These are the kind of engineered foods. These are the results of brilliant food technologists mm-hmm. that provide us with tantalizing flavors, mm-hmm. but they're really actually undermining our health. Mm-hmm. And so these things should be used only occasionally.
Okay.
Right?
Very good.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we could add the soda pops, the soft drinks to it. And when you think about that, the largest component of sugar in our diet comes from these soda pops.
Yeah.
So once we cut back on these engineered foods, you will automatically cut back on sugars.
Yep.
And you will automatically cut back on salt.
Yep.
And you will also probably cut back on white flour.
That's right.
But let me just maybe go one step further, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We talked about engineered foods.
Yeah.
They don't really fit into the classification of more natural foods, such as fresh vegetables,
no.
fresh fruits,
no.
whole grains, and we talked about legumes, right?
Right.
So we need to cut back on refined engineered foods because they're too much loaded with calories and sugars and salt and not enough fiber, these kind of things. But we also have to be concerned about the animal products.
Mm-hmm.
You see, again here, we have a society where some 40% of the calories that we eat nowadays comes from animal products such as meat and poultry and fish and eggs and dairy products. You know, these are foods that have no fiber. These are the only foods that have cholesterol. Right?
Right, exactly.
And these are the foods that are high in what we call saturated fats. And these are the kind of fats that cause the liver to go into overdrive in producing cholesterol. Mm. So the liver makes its own cholesterol, always enough of what we need.
Yeah.
But when you have these high fat diets, which are high in saturated fat, and then these trans fats, which you find in these engineered foods, then you have the liver going berserk and it produces excessive amounts of cholesterol and that then finds itself into the bloodstream. So if we want to really be healthy overall, then it would be very, very important to increasing the consumption of fruits and vegetables and whole grains and legumes. I think I made that point by
yes,
now.
Absolutely.
And with that, we cut back on engineered foods and on animal products. And when you do this, something happens.
Yeah.
Example.
Yes.
Example.
Give us an example.
World War II. World War II, Europe. The Nazi armies rolled over these European countries almost overnight and occupy these countries, and they take all the livestock, everything that they can take from these occupied countries to feed their armies. And these occupied population groups now have to live on very simple foods. I mean, they have to grow their own vegetables in their backyard.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the occupational armies take everything that they can grab from these populations. And these people now have to live on very simple foods. They are living on a sort of almost, what should I say, a monastic simple diet that's devoid of cakes, that's devoid of the butters and the eggs and the meats and so on, because the Nazi armies take all of that away from him. What happens? In Norway, classic example, well-documented, published in medical journals, heart disease dropped within a year's time dramatically. Mm. Diabetes came down. Stroke incidents came down. The weight began to drop in Norway. And you've seen this in other countries too. And then the question was asked, well, what would happen after the war as people get back on their feet? I mean, you take Germany. You know, we had nothing when I grew up in Germany after the war. We had nothing. We lived on very, very simple food, just like our friends up there in Norway and in Denmark and in Sweden, right? And as these populations got healthy, the German people got healthy. I mean, with all the stress and with all the need of rebuilding the country, with all the guilt that this country felt as a national entity, you know, the health emerged almost overnight miraculously. And then as Germany and these countries got back on their feet again within 15, 20 years, the plaques came back.
Wow.
The atherosclerosis in the arteries began to build again, and heart disease emerged again. And today, you know, Germany has as much, it has more heart disease than other countries, because they're still trying to make up for lost time, you see?
Sure, absolutely.
It's very sad, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it? So here you have a classic example. In World War II, you can make parallel observations in Japan. After World War II, Japan, it was difficult to find heart disease in Japan. It was basically devoid of any coronary artery disease. And then within 20 years, as MacArthur, you know, brought new democratic principles to Japan, but with it also came McDonald's and the fast food industry. You know, within 20 years, all of a sudden, you saw older Japanese men and women see their sons at 50 die from a disease they had never heard of before. They saw their children, you know, 50 years of age, dying from a disease called coronary artery disease. They were so shocked they had no name for it. Not understanding that this was probably related to the westernization of the diet in Japan. And that's, of course, what we now understand. You know, today heart disease is, in the University of Tokyo, in the medical school in the 1960s, the professors had to import coronary arteries that were plugged up with atherosclerosis from Johns Hopkins University to show medical students in Japan what killed every second American then.
My. Well, I tell you what, that is proof positive right there. And Dr. Deal, our time has slipped away. You have given us some wonderful information to think about here. And I, listener, I hope you are taking this seriously. If you want more information about this, you, of course, can go to the chiphealth.org website and get all kinds of studies and all kinds of proof of what Dr. Deal is saying right here. And I invite you to prove it yourself. You might want to move toward that plant-based diet and drop all those refined foods and animal products. And you're going to find that your numbers are going to come down, too. Pretty amazing, just like they do in the CHIP programs around the world. Dr. Deal, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it. And until next time, listener, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Hans Deal inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.